twisties are rubbish," Ma replied, and I knew then that there was no more delaying. We were going to the wet market, and we were going now. On Sunday mornings, Ang Mo Kio smelled faintly like smoke and something sweet. On the short walk to the market, it was always these two smells, something burning and something tempting. The heavy smell of burning came from the smoke that rose from woks in nearby 24-hour coffee shops, where red plastic chairs lay strewn around lopsided white tables. The smoke carried the aroma of onions and garlic sizzling in oil, rice noodles being fried in oyster sauce, softening vegetables stewing with chopped garlic, eggs and butter and dough, watery coconut gravy and fish curry. The sweet smell did not necessarily come from food, although it was overwhelming when we passed the Happy Garden Bakery with its gleaming display cases filled with chocolate mousse cakes and multi-layered kueh lapis. There was another kind of sweetness in the Sunday air. It came from the potted bougainvillea, lined neatly along the paths, body lotion and deodorant mingling with sweat. Morning greetings from one woman to another, the money being counted at the 4D lottery shop, the new rubber and leather at the bicycle shop. There was nothing else in the world like our neighborhood on a Sunday morning. I had lived there my whole life. I was 10 years old. As we approached the wet market, both scents gave way to something else, a bitter taste that started in my throat. It was like this every time. Fear tightened my insides and turned my limbs into lead. I couldn't move or call out to Ma as she continued walking. Eventually, she looked over her shoulder and backtracked, her features crumpled with irritation. "Come now, you're not going to get lost," Ma said. I always clutched Ma's hand whenever we entered a crowded place. The shopping malls in the city, the rows of hawker centers in Ang Mo Kio Central, the bus interchange. But sometimes, without realizing it, she lost me. She never admitted it. A year ago, we went to the Pasar Malam down the street. Lanterns filled the ink-black sky like small moons, and Chinese music crackled from loudspeakers. Shopkeepers shouted out prices for dresses, toys, and cotton candy everywhere we went. I remembered feeling Ma's hand slip from mine as she drifted towards a good bargain. People filled the small space between us, the way floodwater rushes into a gutter. She found me within a few minutes, but in my mind it had been hours, a lifetime. When I told her that she had let go first, she grew cross and asked, "Why would I do a thing like that?" I could already feel the heat on my back now, sweat gluing my thin t-shirt to my skin. Around us, customers moved in different ways. Some sped past us in clapping sandals. Others roamed heavily. There were straight backs, stooped backs, loose blouses, and clinging t-shirts. I saw every shade of skin color and the fine green veins that decorated the backs of knees. I saw jutting ankle bones and flimsy rubber slippers. "Ay-ya!" a man cried as his slipper came loose and skidded across the wet floor to land in a shallow corner gutter. I caught a glimpse of his eyes as they searched wildly for the person who tripped him. I hid behind Ma in case he thought it was me, but the fury only lasted a few seconds. He seemed to realize that if he did not keep moving, he would not get anything done. He ran to the gutter, pushed his foot back into the slipper, and hurried along as if nothing had happened. "Hold my hand," Ma said. I did as she told. "Now, what do you do?"
"Keep holding your hand."
"And what should you not do?"
"Panic."
"Or?"
"Cry,"
I said, a little bit softer, because I was embarrassed. "Ready?" she asked. I nodded, and she brought me in. As the market rushed towards us, my first instinct was to twist away from